18, verse 12 to 14. Matthew 18, verse 12 to 14. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. Let us pray. Great Shepherd, teach us today. Motivate us today. Inspire us today to love as you love us, to care as you care for us, and to give as you have given to us. Great Shepherd, lead us as your sheep to do your will. Amen. The scripture we've just read, Matthew 18, verses 12 to 14, I believe isn't just a description of how our Heavenly Father operates, in that he cares for the individual, he seeks out the lost, he goes the extra mile to bring the wayward sheep home. The scripture also serves as an example for us to follow. Yes, we are his sheep, whom he loves, but we're also called to act like the Great Shepherd, because he is in us and he calls us to do what he does. Amen? The shepherd in the scripture leaves, looks, finds. Will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it? The words leave, look, find are known as what kind of words in the English language? Now, this is testing your English now. For some of you, it was a long time ago. What are they? Leave, look, and find. They are, of course, verbs, doing words, action words. Leave, look, find implies doing something. An action is occurring. And in most cases, there's some kind of movement taking place with verbs. Will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, leave, look, find implies action, doing, movement. Interestingly, the most well-known psalm, Psalm 23, is also full of action and movement. Psalm 23, let's have that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know, every time I read that, I get a picture of us sitting in the middle of a jungle, and the lions are roaring, and you can hear things around you crawling and snakes and everything. And there, there's this beautiful feast, and we're sitting there eating, and we're hearing the enemies out there. That's the picture I get. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. If they follow you, there's an assumption of movement, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23 is full of verbs. It's full of action. There's a very strong suggestion of movement, is there not? He leads me beside quiet waters. Movement. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. Movement. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. movement. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. Movement. It's all movement. Even to places that are incredibly uncomfortable, seemingly lonely places, dark places, places where you feel there's a possibility of death, places where your enemy is positioned around you as you eat the wonderful banquet that Jesus has prepared. There's an expectation that discomfort will be experienced. But the Great Shepherd is with us, taking care of us. That's life. Ain't that life? Psalm 23 is life as a Christian. He's taking care of us, but we're moving. There's action. I believe movement, that is being activated, is extremely important for us Christian sheep. Daniel, could I have a noise effect? He does that so well. Actually, that's one of the first things Elise actually told me about Daniel. He was really good at that particular noise. It's very, and straight away I thought, wow, what a man. Did you know your son had that talent, Sharon?
No, I didn't.
Didn't you? Okay. You either have it or you don't. All right. My son Ryan makes a really good monkey noise, doesn't he? Everyone who knows Ryan? Okay. A good number of years ago, God, by the way, that's what God likens us to, sheep, all right? And I don't mind that. I think sheep are quite cute and soft and furry and fluffy, and they're really nice. A good number of years ago, I had an interesting conversation with a young man, a teenager actually, who used to come to City View. His name was Matthew Gateskill. Who can remember Matthew Gateskill? And he just heard me preaching about how God likens us to sheep, and sheep need to be kept moving from paddock to paddock. Well, Matthew felt he had some interesting information he needed to share with me to help expand my knowledge of sheep. A number of young men are like that. They often come up to me and tell me more of what I need to know. They do. The information he shared has stuck in my mind for years. We're talking 9 years. I wrote the information down back then too, but it stuck in my head because what he shared and how he shared it was quite funny. It appealed to my quirky sense of humour, but it was also oh so applicable to Christians. In a casual, Aussie, laid-back manner, Matthew approached me saying, "You know, it's true that fat sheep don't move. My uncle's got 3 fat sheep, and we happened to hit one of them with our car because it wouldn't move. So we got out of the car, picked it up, chucked it in the back of the car, and took it to my uncle's shed to get an injection to make it move. Yeah, fat sheep don't move. Fat sheep don't move." That's the title of my sermon today. And by the way, we're all already a third of the way through it. Fat sheep don't move. It's deep, I know. The title is incredibly deep. Here's an interesting tidbit for you. Sheep don't know when to quit eating. Who else has that problem? At least this is true when it comes to grain. From what I've gathered from several websites concerning sheep, and of course we all know the internet tells the absolute truth all the time, grain is like chocolate to sheep. They love it and could literally eat themselves to death. Now, I can understand death by chocolate, but not death by grain. Food is a big deal to sheep. They just have a hard time knowing when to quit eating the grain. You see, God didn't design them to digest too much grain at one time. The problem with overconsumption of grain in sheep is they develop bloating and it can kill them. Sounds to me like a pretty awful way to go. A good shepherd must be on guard for the overconsumption of grain and lead the sheep into the fields to work off the grain. I also read that sheep on high quality pastures, that's grass, may also consume forage for much longer than is necessary, and this may lead to sheep becoming over-conditioned, in other words, fat, if they consume more than is needed to meet their nutrient requirements. That's a rather nice way of putting it, don't you think? Over-conditioned. Don't eat too much cake, you may become over-conditioned. I was over-conditioned when I came off my holiday, because sheep can become over-conditioned, staying in high-quality pasture for too long. Shepherds need to keep their sheep moving in order to monitor their diet. As Christians, we could learn from sheep. Now, this isn't to talk against the cafe, by the way. I'm heading somewhere spiritual with this. I'm certainly not opposed to the study of the Word of God. I love it. In fact, the more, the merrier. I'd love to see the whole church to come to the Wednesday night Bible study every week. It would do you all a lot of good. Make you all better people. Soak yourself in the Word. Just keep eating the Word. Don't stop. However, it's a strange and sad situation when someone is full of knowledge but never applies what they learn nor gives that information away. I believe they become as bloated sheep in danger of religious death, just like the Pharisees of the New Testament. How is it that someone can know so much about Jesus but never share that information with a lost person? How is it that someone can know so much about Jesus but never help the kingdom of God, whom Jesus loves very much? The kingdom of God is the apple of his eye. Is it biblically correct to know so much about the scriptures but never convey that knowledge to other people or live out that knowledge in their lives? A proper balance of food and field work is a basis for a healthy biblical faith. James, in the book of James, funny that, 2 verse 17 to 18 said, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. Faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. He said further, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. This is James, the actual brother of Jesus Christ, speaking here. He wasn't just a spiritual brother. He'd also been the physical brother of Jesus. He was related to Jesus. He spent a lot of time with Jesus. And James said, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. James also, in the same book, encourages us to not just listen to the word, but do. That's action. What it says. Okay, I'm about to say something right now, and I've been challenged with this week, and I thought, shall I speak this? I'm going to speak it because I really feel I need to speak it, but it's going to make me sweat as I speak it. Everyone who joins City View needs to be activated in some sort of service for his kingdom. Because not only do you hear some really good preaching and teaching in this church, but God has gifted you with gifts that you need to activate within his kingdom, within his church. Don't get too emotionally comfortable in your own little private paddock. That's not church. Because the good shepherd wants to lead you in service for him. And it's actually fun being with other sheep. It's much better. And as he leads you and feeds you and leads you and feeds you and leads you and feeds you, you are going to be one healthy, beautiful-looking sheep to God. We need to get out of our comfort zone and move, move, move to where he leads, leads, leads. Move and do what he has called us to do. We have things to do corporately and individually for his kingdom here, right here, because we've all chosen to worship here. City View Church is a strong and thriving church that glorifies God and values people. City View Church is a strong and thriving church that glorifies God and values people. This is who we are. This is our vision from 12 years ago, and our vision has now become our distinctive culture, glorifying God and valuing people. This is our ID. On Wednesday night, I hope I don't embarrass this person, at Bible study, I spoke to John Yarrow, a new member of our church. And he said, I found that not only do people say hello in this church, but they say, hello, John. They remember my name. And that's a good thing, because John feels valued. Why does John feel valued? Because our culture is glorifying God and valuing people. Our church is a community. You got that? Do you feel it? We are a community. And sometimes I imagine us as being like a village. We're a growing village of people, of believers, which includes the very young and the very old. All having equal value. All being needed by the church. The young people are not more important than the old people. Amen. Thanks, Dad. You all have equal value, and you are all needed in this church. I love the way Marlene takes up the offering. She's a go-getter. Marlene and Kevin are go-getters. She can be out all Wednesday and still be at the Wednesday night Bible study. No one holds those two down. I tell you who else is a go-getter. Helen, do you know she does the washing of the church laundry? Yeah. And if she forgets to take it on a Sunday, there she comes with a little frame up the street, comes through the door, grabs the washing, and then walks off with it, dangling off her walking frame. No one's stopping Helen. And then we have people like Lorna, who tells Lockie which weeds need to be pulled up. There's no stopping Lorna either. We are so blessed with our old people. Do you love them? Do you value them?
Yes.
And none of them complain about the music. They don't. And some of them, they probably think, But they are happy for you to be blessed. They're beautiful people and they're full of wisdom. They're full of wisdom. You know, when it was Norma's funeral last year, some of our beautiful young people went to her funeral and they explained Norma's life, and Norma was amazing. She was a missionary to New Guinea, helping children in New Guinea. That I had a number of people come to me afterwards going, I didn't know. I didn't know Norma did all those things. Weren't you amazed, Daniel? You did. And James at the back, you were amazed what you heard at the funeral. Norma was a beautiful person. She needed to be spoken to because she's got so much wisdom of Jesus in her life all those years. Let's have a culture that continues to honor our old people. And don't just honor by lip service. You have them in your life, in this village, doing things still. Doing things. That's good. Keep moving, old folks. evergreens. Keep moving. Don't stop. Don't stop. Because in this place, we glorify God and value people. We are a community of Christians doing life together. That is church. We praise and worship God together. We hear the word of God together and talk about the word together. We fellowship and eat and eat and eat together. We evangelize together. We pray together. We encourage one another in our gifting together. We support missions together. We do God's work together. And in March, we're all going to give to our missions program together. We're investing together. That's so cool. We do Christian life together. For all those sheep who've only just joined us in the last year, we implore you all, if you haven't already, to move into the inner core of this church, this community of believers, and help us do what needs to be done to keep this church strong and thriving for the next 100 years, unless the Lord returns. Let me share with you, and I'm coming quickly to the end, our departments in City View Church right now are exploding and new ministries are opening up. We need workers. We need you to move. We need help with food bank. We need help in children's ministry and in the new creche, and the youth need support. We need help with caring for the aged. We need help with our door greeting. We need help in our car park. Isn't that crazy out there just lately? We need help in our cafe. Seriously need some help to wash up. We need more people in our prayer meetings, don't we, Vicky and Mary? We do. We need more people praying with us and for us in every department. We need more people to give to our growing missions program, don't we, John? We need more musicians. I can go on and on. City View needs you. All of you. If you feel you are time poor, may I encourage you to at least tithe on your time? The more time you give to Him, the more time you have. Yes. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I know God was speaking about money here, but the same principle works right across the board with anything you sacrifice to Him. If you're time poor, then give to Him more time in service for His kingdom. I've discovered this with my own family. When we started City View Church, Diana was around about 16, Elise 17, and Ryan 18. Elise and Diana were doing TE, and Ryan had just started apprenticeship, and none of them drived. And they were studying hard. They were also doing the children's church, the youth group. We took on the kids club later. They were doing the cafe. They were setting up the church. They were in the music team, and they had jobs. And they had boyfriends and a girlfriend. And boy, was that a nuisance sometimes. Get off the phone, Elise, and go to sleep. So, they were really busy. I don't know how they got through their TE, but they passed. I don't know how my girls got their degrees, but they passed. Well, you're not really, really smart. It's true. They're not highly academic. They needed speech therapy when they were really young. I'm telling you why they passed. Because they gave God an abundance of their time. And now, not only do they have good jobs, but they have jobs in which they are really secure in. They are permanent positions. And Ryan's done really well. He got apprenticeship of the year runner-up, he did, in the middle of all that work. And he was running the youth group in his bedroom. Can you remember those good old days, Travis? Oh, Sunday morning I'd go in to wake Ryan up and it would be full of fellas lying all over the place. Stale pizza on the And just, it stank. It was awful. The things you do for Jesus. Yeah. It was really hard. But they were just all out for God. But God blessed them in their studies. God even used the church to help Dinah get a job. When she passed a TE, she didn't feel like she could go straight into university. She said, "Mum, I just need some time out. So I need to get a job." I said, "Yes, you do. Get one straight away." So there was this job, great job in Welshpool, and she went for it, and she used City View Church as one of her references, and that she does work for a church. And often people tell you not to put down a church, but this guy saw City View that was interviewing her, a really nice man. He goes, "City View Church." She goes, "Yeah, it's such and such a place." We were meeting in the home of the demons then, which is home of the angels on Sunday. She said, "There." He went, "You know what? I think I go by your church road signs every Sunday. I know which church that is." You got the job. She got the job, and it was the witness of working in the church. And not only did she get a job, she then went and got Travis a job. And they used to have lunch together, chit-chatting away, having a great time for 2 years. It was really good, wasn't it? And then when she left that job and went to uni, she went to get a different job, a part-time job. And there she once again used the fact that she was a Christian. And I remember this lady in a shop saying, "Oh, you're a Christian. I've noticed that Christian girls are better workers than the others." Can you remember that, Dinah? She actually, you came home and said that. And I remember things like that because that's really important for preaching. Really important information. So isn't that a good witness? And this person wasn't a Christian. I honestly believe that my kids made it through the education system, not because I was a good parent, but because they honoured God in their time giving. And now they've got beautiful spouses who also honour God in their time giving. God is good. He's faithful. You can never outgive God in your time. You can't. I've proven it in my life and my children's life. And I'm going to see it in my grandchildren's life and in my great-grandchildren's life. Serve Him first. Put Him first. Come on, people. Let's be doers. Let's be movers. Let's be people of action. Let's do lots of verbs. Let's enjoy the Christian life together. Let's enjoy our precious community. Let's have a sparkle in our eyes when people come into the door because we're enjoying life. Let's all live to be 100 and still serving Jesus. Amen, Helen and Lorna. Yeah. Amen, Kevin and Marlene. Yeah. Thanks, Sharon. We need to be this because fat sheep don't move. You don't want to be fat. You don't want to be a fat sheep. We're moving where our shepherd leads this flock. He's on the move. Psalm 23 is on the move. Let us move. Amen. Amen. That's it. Good sermon. Yeah, bless me. And you know what? It was easy to tell them what I thought it was going to be. Could I please have the band up here? I think we should sing Chasing You because there's a lot of movement there. We're actually running in this one. All right. Yes, all the band come on up and then we're going to sing and have some fellowship together. Please stand. Okay. Are you ready, Daniel?
Almost. A bit higher pitch.
What's
Was it?
You.
Okay, let's do some chasing of the shepherd right now in this song.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I'm chasing you. I'm so in love.
will run after you in your heart, representing you correctly to our community, Jesus. So Lord, just bless everyone today that's heard this word. I pray that they will indeed be doers of your word. Amen.